live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, 19 PSNI officers and a police dog have been injured after a further night of violence in Northern Ireland. Those who have been engaging in rioting on the streets can expect to be caught. That's the warning from the PSNI's temporary assistant chief constable. 151 people in Donegal have died with COVID-19 since the pandemic began, with over 9,250 cases of the virus reported in the county. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland is expected to hit its 1 millionth COVID-19 vaccine over the weekend, and the government's accused of failing to put an adequate system in place to protect people from international variants. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as well, because it's a Friday, of course, we'll have Unnooked with Colm Ferriter. And that's coming up after the sport at around 5:20. But we begin with the aftermath of last night's further violence on the streets of Belfast and other parts of Northern Ireland. 19 PSNI officers and a police dog injured. Petrol bombs, bottles, fireworks and rocks thrown at police across parts of the city, with two people arrested. Since last week, 74 PSNI officers have been injured during violent attacks, with political leaders appealing for calm. Earlier today, the Northern Ireland Secretary met with leaders of the five main political parties at Stormont virtually. With more detail, here's Andrew Louth.
Secretary Brandon Lewis called for calm in the north yesterday. However, within hours, water cannons were used against rioters for the first time in 6 years in Belfast. MLA Gerry Carroll was at the scene last night.
Tensions are quite high. People are quite worried and concerned, and that's understandable. Obviously.
Meanwhile, a security analyst believes suggestions of a border poll should be pulled back to let the dust settle. Declan Power says a lot of unionists believe a big part of their identity is being threatened.
We in the South could probably do the most useful thing at this point, and that is just back off this talk about border polls and reunification. And let's deal with the pandemic, the effects of Brexit, and trying to find points of similarity and shared culture and history.
Well, those who have been engaging in rioting can expect to be caught. That's the warning from the PSNI's temporary assistant chief constable. Jonathan Roberts says detectives will not just be relying on images from social media to identify suspects. He says they have other sophisticated equipment to help them catch those responsible. 151 people in Donegal have died with COVID-19 since the pandemic began, with over 9,250 cases of the virus reported in the county since March of last year. With more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The latest figures from the CSO have revealed that the median age of those who lost their lives to the virus in Donegal was 83. There have been a total of 9,259 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Donegal since the outbreak began, with the median age of cases 38. In the week ending Friday the 2nd of April, there were an additional 111 new cases in Donegal, representing a 53% decrease compared to the previous set of CSO figures. 23 of the new cases were linked to a COVID-19 outbreak. Other national key findings include that the average number of contacts per positive case per week was 3 up to Friday of last week. While Dublin and Offaly were the counties with the highest average number of contacts per positive case at 4 for the week ending April the 2nd.
113 more cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed north of the border today, with two more COVID-related deaths. Meanwhile, Northern Ireland's 1 millionth COVID-19 vaccine is likely to be administered this weekend. The total now stands at 988,000, with 806,000 first doses and 182,000 second jabs administered. The total population in the north is just over 1.9 million. About 2 million doses have been administered across the island after the Republic passed the 1 million mark yesterday. The government's been accused of failing to put an adequate system in place to protect the country from the importation of COVID variants. It's after new figures showed the number of foreign residents who arrived into Dublin Airport increased by nearly 66% last week. It was the first full week of mandatory hotel quarantine. 14,105 people arrived into Dublin Airport during the 7 days, up 17.5% on the previous week. The co-leader of the Social Democrats is Roisin Shortall. She says the government's policy policy on international travel is the weakest element in the fight against COVID.
Well, I think what's going on is that the government have been taking half measures in relation to travel, and it's been like this all along, and that has been the weakest element of the fight against COVID. All of the talk and the messing about really in relation to quarantining is evidence of that, and we will pay a price for that in terms of the huge danger of the importation of the new variants, in particular those variants of concern.
Well, the Transport Minister says he expects the Cabinet to reach agreement on adding more countries to the hotel quarantine list next week. Passengers arriving from 58 states currently have to spend 2 weeks in a designated hotel at their own cost. The government has so far delayed acting on advice to add some EU countries, including France, Germany and Italy, to the list. Minister Eamon Ryan says it's likely they'll be designated as high-risk countries soon.
The government are committed to heeding the medical advice. We need to work on the logistics of how we do that, and I expect that will be broadly agreed at Cabinet next week.
Well, Donegal County Council is urging people to limit their social contacts this weekend. In a tweet this afternoon, the council says while the vaccination programme is bringing hope that we may be on the final path out of lockdown, we must all remain cautious. The tweet urges people not to visit another person's household unless they're providing essential care. Well, the Health Minister says he believes the country can have a good summer. The number of people hospitalised with COVID-19 has reached its lowest point in 111 days, with 209 people receiving treatment last night. There was a slight increase at Letterkenny University Hospital. The figure is still less than 10. The number of cases reported last week declined by 9% compared to the previous week. And Minister Stephen Donnelly says people just need to keep going for a little while longer.
It's like being in the last 15 minutes of a Grand Slam decider and it's all tied. You're exhausted. You have been battered for the entire game. But if you hold your shape and if you can hold your discipline and stay strong for that last bit, it will come good.
Other news this evening, and teachers have requested an urgent meeting with the government to get clarity on when they'll receive COVID-19 vaccines. In a letter to the Department of Education, the three teaching unions say they want assurances that members will be fully vaccinated at the earliest possible opportunity. The TUI, ASTI and INTO are now threatening industrial action after changes were made to the vaccination rollout programme last week. Michael Gillespie, the TUI's General Secretary, says there are flaws in vaccinations solely based on age.
We accept the scientific evidence that, you know, age defines risk, but also exposure defines risk. Teachers are exposed to 250 families, a post-primary teacher, you know, every week. So you must, in the science, also take into account exposure as a risk. Other jurisdictions have done that, and they prioritise teachers and prioritise other essential workers.
It's been confirmed that €3.8 million has been allocated to Donegal in leader funding, the highest allocation nationwide. The money is going to the Donegal Local Action Group under the Transitional Leader Programme for 2021 to 2022. The new programme is open to applications, with communities and local enterprises in Donegal who want to avail of funding be encouraged to make contact with the Donegal Local Development Company. Minister Charlie McConlogue says the money will help many rural communities.
Yeah, it's very welcome funding, and during it's to apply for 2021 and 2022, because the full leader programme will then kick off in 2023. And I, through my own department, the Department of Agriculture, had allocated $19 million to the Department of Rural Affairs towards leader. And I'm very grateful to see Minister Humphreys now announce €3.8 million to go to Donegal, which is the highest in the country, to go towards leader projects over the next this year and next year. And I think we all know the tremendous work that has been carried out across the county in terms of community projects, and also in terms of economic social enterprise projects as well. So this €3.8 million will be tremendous benefit to the leader companies in the county, and indeed to those who wish to apply. And it is opening up now, so I would encourage those with ideas for funding and with proposals for funding to engage with leader in the county in order to make their applications.
I'm sure there will be a lot of interest by local community groups to apply for that funding. Probably stiff enough competition, Minister.
There always is. There's a lot of very good ideas across the county, but I suppose from a funding point of view, and certainly for myself as Minister, the key objective is to try and deliver as much funding as possible to leader in the county. And then the leader groups working with the County Council as well will assess the various applications that come in and try and make the maximum use of that and ensure it delivers the maximum impact to the county. So the important thing is that we will see €3.8 million in projects funded now over the next the rest of this year and into next year.
And that was Minister Charlie McConlogue. Donegal County Council is being urged to put the Lough Swilly ferry service out to tender for a 10-year period, as is currently the case with the Foyle ferry that links Greencastle and McGilligan. Councillor Liam Blaney says at present the Rathmullen to Buncrana service is operating on a 1-year tender, and he believes a longer contract would provide much needed certainty to the operator and to service users. Councillor Blaney says longer contracts have been proven to be effective.
Well, I think it's unfair to the operator and to people using the ferry and to businesses in the local areas as well, in both Buncrana and Rathmullen areas. And it's a motion that I've done now for the Ministerial meeting on Tuesday again, requesting that they do a 10-year tender process for the car ferry to give it certainty to everybody. I think it's very important, a certainty for the operator, so he can build on his business. I think we had a 5-year term there a few years ago. It ended a few years ago, and it gave him a chance to build on it, and I think it was going better than ever it had gone during that 5-year period. This last couple of years is back in just annually again the renewing unit, and I think it needs a longer term, fixed term for the operator and for the users, and it gives certainty to everybody that it's going to be there for a 10-year period, and I'm hoping the council will look favourably on it.
And I'm sure it would be in the council's interest too to grant that.
Well, I'm quite sure it will. They've seen the benefits of the certainty that was there when they had it on a 5-year term, and I think, and I'm hoping that they will look favourably on this and agree to do a 10-year term for it and give everybody in the whole area. And even people coming to tourists coming to here, give them all a bit of certainty and time building the tourism and both Donegal and Fannet and Downing's Peninsula.
And quite a timely motion too, with more and more people, especially this year, holidaying at home.
Well, unfortunately at this stage I think I'm going to be a bit late for this year, because the time goes out to tender and all the things are done, get tender documents done up and having done it, it's going to be too late for the tourism season this year, but hopefully it will be in place before the end of this year, so everybody will get a chance to build on for next year again.
And that was Councillor Liam Blaney speaking there to Catherine Gaffney. Well, President Michael D. Higgins has paid tribute to Britain's Prince Philip, who died this morning at the age of 99. He said Prince Philip was a steadfast supporter of his wife, Queen Elizabeth II. He also remarked on the welcome that he and his wife Sabina received when they visited London in 2014 on the first official visit to the UK by an Irish head of state. Well, with more on the death of Prince Philip, here's this special report from Casey O'Riordan.
Prince Philip was born in Greece in June 1921 with the title of Prince of Greece and Denmark. In 1939, Prince Philip met his wife and would renounce his royal title in order to marry Elizabeth, where he ultimately was given the title of the Duke of Edinburgh. Prince Philip has said this about his relationship with the Queen.
You can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
They have four children, Princes Charles, Andrew and Edward, and Princess Anne. In August of 1979, the royal family was stunned by the assassination of Philip's close uncle, Lord Mountbatten, in Sligo.
The Provisional IRA have said that they were responsible.
19 years later, Prince Philip travelled to Ireland for the first time, just months after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. In 2011, he returned with Queen Elizabeth II for what was the first official visit by a British monarch to these shores in 100 years. The royals visited Rosslyn-Uachtaráin, paid their respects at the Garden of Remembrance and learnt how to pour a pint of Guinness, with Prince Philip questioning whether the stout was made with Liffey water. Prince Philip has suffered ill health in recent years and passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Buckingham Palace says the royal family joins with people around the world in mourning his loss.
He has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
16 minutes past 5, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with golf. Shane Lowry is 2 over par through 7 holes of his second round at the Masters. That leaves the Offaly native in a tie for 33rd on the leaderboard at Augusta. Lowry's playing partner Justin Rose has just a one-shot advantage over the field at 4 under. The Englishman is 3 over for the day, also after 7. Rory McIlroy will need a positive round if he's to make any sort of inroads into the weekend. He'll be back out this evening from 4 over par with a bit of work to do. On the home soccer front, joint leaders St Patrick's Athletic will host Derry City in the Premier Division of the SSE or Trusty League this evening. Derry go to Dublin, bottom of the table without a win. Harps big match analyst Declan Boyle feels Derry need points to build confidence.
It's not the start that Declan Devine probably wanted or the supporters wanted, but what it does do is put pressure on them straight away. I mean, obviously, going up to St Pat's are changed. They're a lot better than they were last year. So that's going to be a really difficult match. And he has to get points on the board from somewhere. He has to get a draw potentially up there. Now, down through the years, I always found that Derry done really well up in St Pat's and got results. So that might be a good place for them to start. Can they get a draw just to stop the rot of losing games? Potentially-wise, they have good players. They just need a bit more confidence. Obviously, the squad is a bit depleted from last year. They don't have strength in numbers. Their bench is a lot weaker than it was, and so they don't have players that can come in and change the game. So they need to get a result from somewhere. Can they get it on Friday night? I'm not so sure. But I mean, they have Shamrock Rovers after that as well at home. So that's going to be two massive games for Declan. And you know, the last thing he needs now is a big defeat, you know, against St Pat's.
On kickoff for that Derry St Pat's game at Inchicore is just under a half an hour away, kicking off at 5:45. There's a 7:45 start for the meeting of Dundalk and Bohemians at Oriel Park. Finn Harps, of course, in action tomorrow evening against Waterford United. Harps go into the weekend joint leaders with Sligo and St Pat's and are undefeated as well. It's their second home game of the campaign. We'll have full live match coverage here in Highland tomorrow evening. As from the 6 o'clock kickoff, Declan Boyle will be on co-commentary and he's favouring 3 points against the visitors tomorrow.
Listen, they're going to come positive. Big result, obviously. The performances were happening good. They've beaten Derry 2-1, so they've come and they're scoring goals, obviously, and they're a threat, and it depends on how it goes. You know, I mean, what crucial, I suppose, to Harps' performances have been that they've scored first in all games, and you know, the way they're set up, they're defensively very good. Excellent without the ball, and if they score first again, I'd be looking for 3 points against Waterford.
There's, of course, full preview pieces ahead of that Harps-Waterford game available now to listen to and indeed to watch on highlandradio.com. In the Premier League cross-channel tonight, relegation-threatened Fulham host Wolves. The Cottagers will leapfrog Newcastle and exit the bottom three if they won. That one starts at 8 o'clock. While in the Championship, it's Watford against Reading. UEFA have given Ireland 10 days to come up with further details of their plans for fan access to games for this summer's Euros, as they were unable to commit to allowing supporters into the Aviva Stadium. Munich, Rome and Bilbao have also been given until the 19th of April, when UEFA's executive committee meet to come up with more details before a final decision on whether they will remain hosts. The 8 other host venues for the tournament, which starts on the 11th of June, had given varying levels of capacity as part of their plans. On the horse racing front, Fakhar Du Darius has won today's feature at Aintree with a wrap of the action so far. Dennis Kirwan.
There was just a single Irish trained runner in the first two races at Aintree this afternoon, and both won well at a big price. The Denise Foster trained Tronador got a beautiful ride from Jack Kennedy to win the opening 2.5 mile handicap hurdle at odds of 22-1, having opened up at 8-1 this morning. While the Peter Fahey trained 9-1 shot Belfast Banter handled a huge step up from handicaps into Grade 1 company to win the Betway Top Novices hurdle under jockey Kevin Sexton. Belfast Banter had won the county hurdle at Cheltenham off bottom weight and followed up in even more impressive fashion at Aintree this afternoon. The home team finally got off the mark when the Nicky Henderson-trained Chantry House also completed a big festival double when winning the Mild Main Novices Chase at odds of 11-8. But normal service was resumed when the Joseph O'Brien-trained 2-1 favourite Fakhar Du Darius made it back-to-back wins for owner J.P. McManus with an 11-length success in the Grade 1 Marsh Chase. And William Patrick Mullins combined to win the Topham Chase over the Grand National Fences at odds of 15-2. The father and son team have second favourite Borough Saint in tomorrow's Aintree Grand National. So, the Irish dominance at Cheltenham has continued through to Aintree with 4 winners so far this afternoon. Reporting on Aintree with Paddy Power. Don't feel like a punter, feel like a favourite. BeGambleAware.org. I'm Dennis Kirwan.
In snooker, James Cahill and Northern Ireland's Jared Greener tied at 3 frames apiece in their quarter-final at the World Championships. It's the best of 2-6 frames there in that encounter. And finally, in rugby, Ulster are without their their captain Ian Henderson for their Challenge Cup quarter final away to Northampton this weekend. The Ireland lock remains sidelined with a shoulder injury sustained against England last month. Head coach Dan McFarland has stuck with the same starting Ulster 15 from last week's victory over Harlequins. Sinéan Sport, Donal.
Gunamakoth Oshin Agazanish Anuch Alev Ek Column Ferreter.
Shaver Mahasa Column Ferreter in Shadlin, the Prief Scalty or Highland Radio. Sholu Plan Changa Limister Plana La Changa Aaron Ward in Ye. Eg Okaj Erlina Adagri Kor Common Ellen Aaron Ward. Can agri on Limister. Agri an Okaj Shaw Con Arage and Fobble a Harinch. Curry Vime a Flan Changa August Con Ahantas a Horch. Don't over it a bunch of mahig of flan at how curry get evime le breshuk is blee on the news. I say Aaron Warren Cade, Ellen Geltokta, I will plan Changa and Sholta Ugus Sokri, Ugus Kilnagriart, Tafishan, Tafada, Finakoj Ubris, a Lemister Foster, Spela Fekler, and a man social to Nahagriakta Ganwell, Dirch and Tara Catherine Martin, Gur Our Mishni, Ugus Kim, Havokta, Con. Dolchon Kinnan Ellen agus hug she ahantas done a duchline a winning the seal an Ellen agus Walshy an eight at a bunch of a mahigan pobble an Ellen an plan a curry greach tashe lemister agus a fee planala lemister planala changa geltuk to sonomlin harter and cheer agus to kid agus a fee lemister cadihe godata fwin process flannel changa done a counter shin. A curry vime, go hatchul. Ta glorna gael a glacu la heret a sir yontas so clubna ta clarihe la funger a chosa victonahe la haina schema em liuma. Ta ter curru de clubna changwil a yenulishan offig a farberha atchul, glorna gael conform irhisha oil, gaholish a glorna gael bunkai e. August Tasha Fogriha Gowell Scheme Jontas Colum Killa Osculture Fuilaher Saint Kids Bractatan and Sheola Jagd and Me Shop August Taga Olus Arisht Egg Forest Nigeriga Bonkai E Shimahodsha Eligolier Slanagus Banakt.
Gurumahagoth Colum. And now the weather, very cold tonight with long clear spells, temperatures dropping to between -3 and +1 degrees Celsius, a widespread sharp to severe frost forming overnight, along with some ice patches. Scattered wintry showers will move in from the north overnight with the risk of isolated thunderstorms, winds light northerly or variable in direction. A cold, bright start for tomorrow with some good spells of sunshine, cloud increasing through the afternoon with showers of rain, hail and sleet developing. That'll bring a risk of some thunderstorms, some snow showers also tomorrow over higher ground with highest temperatures 6 to 8 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northerly breezes. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 9th of April. The death has taken place of Alice McBride, Larganrea, Downings. Her remains will repose at her brother Con's residence in Larganrea from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for funeral mass at 11:30, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Mass can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Mary B. Doherty, Carol Rea, Carndonna. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for Mass at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv/parishofcarndonna. The death has taken place of Maureen McIntyre, 75, Ardconnell, Glenties. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12:30 in St. Connell's Church, Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Glenties. Inquiries to James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Lizzie Carney, nay Ivers, Leenan, Urris, Clonmany. Funeral from her home on Sunday to St. Michael's Church, Urris, for Requiem Mass at 10 a.m., with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Northwest Cancer Ward 50, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Due to HSE and government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Clonmany Together Facebook page. The death has taken place of James Brogan, 278 Skeg Cottages, Bridge End. Requiem Mass tomorrow in St Angus's Church, Burt, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are limited to family only, please, with 10 people permitted. James's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt. The death has taken place of Joe Horner, 63, Myola Drive, Shantallow, Derry. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Steelstown, Derry, tomorrow at 12:30 and can be viewed live via the church's webcam. Interment will take place in St Patrick's Cemetery, Ishkeheen, Muff. House private, please. Funeral restricted to family only, please. And the death has taken place of James Seamus Kelly, formerly of Coolmore Manor and 4A Ballinashallow Gardens. Due to ongoing restrictions, the wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Patrick's Church Pennyburn website, churchservices.tv/Pennyburn, on Saturday at 12 noon.